The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't think of myself as a particularly skeptical person, but as I've gotten older and hopefully a bit wiser, I've come to understand that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. That phrase popped into my head several times this week as I saw commercials for the new medications being prescribed for weight loss. It's not hard to understand why Americans, over two-thirds of whom are overweight or obese, and I'm among that cohort, that we're primed for a miracle cure. Only one injection a week and all my cravings have disappeared. I've lost 100 pounds in 6 months. Sounds a bit too good to be true. As it turns out, it probably is. People may be losing weight, but these medications are causing some serious and, in some cases, irreversible side effects. Lawsuits are already being filed against the manufacturers, and only time will tell whether the benefits of these drugs do outweigh the risks. It's tough when someone bursts your bubble or stomps all over your high hopes. "What do you mean I only have a 1 in 300 million chance of winning the lottery? You're saying this fancy lotion won't make me look like I've had a complete face and neck lift? There's not really a prince in Nigeria who will bequeath me his entire estate if I just send him my bank account info?" If it sounds too good to be true. There's some attempted bubble bursting going on in this morning's reading from the Gospel of John. Now, we started the year of Mark of our lectionary, year B, back on the first Sunday of Advent in December, but we will hear from John a number of times over the coming months, as we are this morning. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Gospel of John does not begin the story of Jesus' earthly ministry with a baptism, like the one we celebrated last week. There is no Jordan River, no heavens being torn apart, no spirit descending like a dove, no divine voice claiming Jesus as beloved Son. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' first appearance might even be called a bit anticlimactic. It happens just a few verses before our gospel reading for today begins. John the Baptist is hanging out with some of his disciples when Jesus walks by. Yes, that's his big entrance. Jesus walks by, as simple and unremarkable as that. As Jesus passes, though, John the Baptist recognizes who and what Jesus is and calls him the Lamb of God. A few of the Baptist's disciples end up trailing after Jesus. After a brief conversation with him, they, Andrew and Peter, become Jesus' first disciples. The next day, and that's where our reading for today begins, with those words, the next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. He finds Philip and utters that familiar invitation to him, "Follow me." It's clear that Philip decides to accept the invitation, because the very next thing he does is start telling people about Jesus. One can only imagine Philip's excitement. The long-awaited Savior has come. The oppression of the Jewish people will soon be over. "We have found him," Philip says to Nathanael. "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." What good news that would have been, should have been. But Nathanael, well, Nathanael is one of those bubble-bursting types. "From Nazareth, you say? The Messiah? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, that tiny, God-forsaken village in the hill country?" Notice that Philip doesn't argue with Nathanael, doesn't start explaining why he thinks Jesus is the promised one, doesn't attempt to convince Nathanael of anything. And Philip doesn't do what a lot of us do when somebody is trying their best to burst our bubble, which is to throw our hands up in the air and walk away, dejected. No, Philip doesn't do any of that. He simply offers Nathanael an invitation. "Come and see." And this is what I picture him doing, waving Nathanael over with a smile on his face. Come and see Jesus. Those are words that have now been spoken millions and millions of times over the past 2,000 years. In Greek, in Latin, and Aramaic, and Old English, Swahili, Japanese, Haitian Creole, Hungarian, Igbo, Mandarin. Across the ages and across the globe, those words have invited people to experience the life-changing presence of Jesus. You and I would not be gathered here for worship today if that message hadn't been spread from household to household, village to village, city to city, by the followers of Jesus like Philip, until it got to us. Come and see. That's also the invitation we are called to share. And it really is as simple as that. We're not asked to make people have faith. We're not asked to convince people to believe or tell them how to have a relationship with Jesus or prove something to them about the existence of God. We're certainly not supposed to have all the answers. That's Jesus' job. We see that in today's story of Philip and Nathanael and Jesus. Philip invites Nathanael to come and see, but it is Jesus who meets Nathanael where he is and brings him to faith. It is Jesus. And by the end of his encounter with the Lord, Nathanael is professing great faith. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God," he says. "You are the King of Israel." That's what happens when people are invited to come and see Jesus. The encounter with Jesus is life-changing. And we hear those stories over and over in the Gospels, how fishermen start fishing for people, how women with fevers are cured, how lepers are made clean, hungry people are fed, paralytics start walking, little girls are raised from the dead. Come and see Jesus. He meets us here. With refreshing water to wash away our sin, a holy feast of bread and wine, a community where everybody belongs, no matter what they look like, where they came from, or whom they love. The cleansing and renewing power of that baptismal water, the nourishment and forgiveness offered in and through Christ's body and blood, the loving welcome extended to all. My friends, it's not too good to be true. Thanks be to God.